The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Coming into the new year, a lot of our listeners may be reconsidering their career choices. January might seem like the perfect time for a fresh start, but new year, new career, is that really a good idea at the moment? Well, joining us now to talk about that is Donal O'Donoghue, Managing Director at Sanderson Recruitment. Donal, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, new year, new career, good idea?
Possibly. Depending on your situation. It's interesting what we're seeing in the labour market at the moment. There's more people at work than we've ever had. The numbers have hit 2.83 million. We've seen a slight increase in unemployment, up to 5.3%. And we've seen somewhat of a slowdown in job vacancies. So vacancies are down 12% year on year. So it's an unusual position to be in where you have a recruiter on saying maybe it's not the time to move. But there could be an element of batten down the hatches, because what we're seeing is, if you look at the stats for the year ahead, only 56% of firms plan 56% of firms plan no headcount growth in the year ahead.
Okay.
So they'll just be replacing leavers, with only 37% expecting to grow headcount. So what we're seeing is a trend with employers to invest more in upskilling and training their people. Can be a little bit driven by AI. But I'm taking the position that it might be the year of better the devil you know, and actually investing in your current employer rather than moving to a new one.
However, there are unhappy people and they just say, it's not worth it. I'm not going in there again.
Yeah, and look, in those circumstances, it's always worth looking at what's available in the market. But there are things to consider. So it hasn't really been hitting the headlines, but we've been seeing quite a number of firms reorganizing using voluntary redundancy programs. So they're usually under the threshold that'll hit the headlines, but we're definitely seeing somewhat of a trend in that space. So there is an element of, do you grow with your current employer? Because remember, if you move from one company to another, you lose some protections. You know, you lose the protection under the unfair dismissals legislation.
You'll
for 12
be going
months.
In on probation again as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. You're on probation. You lose protection for statutory redundancy until you've passed 24 months employment. So there is risk with moving companies. So, yeah, you've really got to look at it on a case-by-case basis. But 2026 could be the year to look at your development where you are.
Are we seeing the impact of AI on recruitment and in what kind of jobs? They're saying, no, AI can do this better than a human can, so therefore we're not going to recruit those 10 people that we really thought we should 2 years ago, and now we don't.
We're not seeing a huge impact yet. What we're seeing when it comes to AI is an over-reliance on AI at the job-seeking stage. So we're seeing candidates creating too much content on LinkedIn using AI. And it's very, very obvious when people create LinkedIn posts that it's just coming straight from ChatGPT. So that's not a good thing to do. And the challenge we're having then as well is people are using AI to write their CVs. So there's now a gap developing between what you see on the CV and what happens at interview. So we're really encouraging people to stop using AI because it's actually having them screened out somewhat at interview stage. But there is a far cleverer way to use AI in the job search. There's like one of the tools that's available allows you to use AI to practice your mock interview. And we know from years in recruitment that people that practice a mock interview before they go to the real interview will perform far better.
So AI will interrogate you.
AI will interview you and give you feedback on your interview. You know, so for example, if you're asked competency-based questions where you should use the STAR technique to talk about a specific example of where you've delivered something in a previous role, using the situation, task, action, result methodology.
Yeah.
Well, the AI will allow you to ask you the question, allow you to answer it, and then give you critical feedback on how you could improve. So there's a tool, I've written it down here, it is called, it's Google's Interview BAI and Google Warm-Up. They're really good. So they're far more useful than just ChatGPT.
You wonder though, given that these are large language learning models, you know, they just take what's out there, they're not really critically thinking. This is a machine after all. I mean, people call it intelligence, but it's actually just a calculation more than anything else, isn't it?
That's true. But the real learning and the real value comes from actually the dry run of hearing yourself trying to articulate your skills in a succinct way. And even if it takes a machine to tell you, look, it took you 5 minutes to give an answer that should have taken 2 minutes, it allows you to go again and again and get some kind of feedback. Because what we would have, you know, always recommended people do at interview prep stage is practice at home over the kitchen table. So I'll take a large language model over your nan on that basis.
Now, AI in terms of planning a career, is that useful at all? You know, in trying to find out what's out there or what kind of job I might be able to do?
Well, I think what it's really useful for is providing a sounding board. So if you look at career transitions, for example, people that are in a particular career and maybe aren't necessarily too happy, you can use a career coach. You can talk to recruiters. But if you perhaps if you don't have the budget for a career coach, AI can certainly give you some feedback. So there's a value in that as well.
Some of the texts coming in. I'd love to change jobs. I've been in sales for decades and I'm very good at it and I earn good money, but I don't enjoy it. I'm in my mid-40s. I've no idea what else I can do and wonder if I'll be deemed too old to change careers. So I worry that staying put is my only option, sadly.
Yeah, and that's a situation that a lot of people are in. And particularly if you look at commercial roles, like sales roles, for example, you get used to a level of pay and a level of variable pay. So sometimes it can be quite difficult to take a step backwards to go forward. So it's really got to be mapped to your life stage and the reality of you know.
Hard to do without the money, that's the point.
Well, sometimes
some salespeople do really, really well.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes there's an element of going back to go forwards, but it's got to come down to as well what fulfills and what delivers on those goals.
Another one here. A lot of interviews are done online now. I perform much better in person and I feel people can get a better feel for who you are in person. But perhaps the in-person interview is now a thing of the past.
Well, what we're seeing is that first-stage interviews, 90% of first-stage interviews are happening online on things like Teams or Zoom, but that there's still second-stage and subsequent-stage interviews
in
person.
Some of the companies have 5 and 6 stages in the interview process. I mean, it doesn't say much for their systems that it takes them all of that amount of time to decide who's going to get the job.
Yeah, sometimes it's almost death by a thousand cuts because that's one of the main drivers of actual churn during an interview process. Like really good talent, after 5 or 6 interviews, if the organisation isn't able to make a decision, a lot of the time they'll withdraw from the process. But I think, yeah, going back to the interview stage point, the best practice is first stage on Teams, just for efficiency. Mm. And we're seeing first stage interviews have been reduced from 60 minutes down to 30 minutes.
But the CVs have been culled before that,
yeah,
before any interview. I mean, a lot of them will be gone.
Exactly. Well, they'll be checked for compliance to see if you meet the experience and qualifications required. But first stage on Teams, second stage in person, and usually with a task. And that's another place not to use AI. If an employer asks you to pull together a presentation of how you would deliver your first 30, 60, 90 days in the role, you'll see 2 or 3 presentations look remarkably similar if you use AI to pull them together. So it's good to help you organise your thoughts, but it's got to be prompted by your own experience.
I'm about to leave another big corporate. I've been in big business for 20 years. I'm leaving by mutual consent. However, where and how do I start again? How do I find my new niche? And do you know anything about supports? As I know, it'll take at least 6 months to get a new job.
It can really vary. And actually, I wouldn't necessarily say it will take 6 months. It's always worth taking a little bit of time out. But this is where you can use some of the programmatic advertising that's out there to help you. So there are job boards and search engines that you can set up your preferences on. So Indeed is a very good one where you can set your skill set and your geography up. And that will scrape all of the employers' boards and the other job boards to give you your stack-ranked jobs into your inbox on a daily or weekly basis.
Any advice for someone who interviews badly but is very skilled and competent and even sociable but just freeze and bumble in an interview?
Practice. And potentially using some of those AI apps, and some of them are free. It all comes down to practice.
AI is hitting graduate recruitment. It's going to have consequences for organisations in the years to come, possibly over-reliance on more and more powerful AI. And that's very worrying for graduates who didn't see this coming when they started their undergraduate degree.
Absolutely. And you've got to remember as well that AI constantly makes mistakes. Like, for example, I was using AI yesterday to look at a task and it produced some information that I knew was wrong. And I immediately said to it, sorry, that's wrong. I know that it's this. And it will come back with an updated answer straight away. So you can't trust its data 100%. What you can use it for is to drive efficiencies. And the concern is with the organizations. People think that AI is going to displace jobs. The challenge in a lot of organizations about driving profitability is that your payroll cost can sometimes be 50 or 60% of an organization's gross profit. if we can use AI to drive efficiency, that allows more time to develop new business and new markets. So we should see it as a driver of business rather than a displacer of jobs.
Finally and briefly, Donal, this IBEC survey of the gender pay gap, something like 23% males are paid more than female staff. It's not necessarily what it seems.
It's not what it seems. There was a headline figure from, and this is for IBEC as an organisation, the 300 odd people that work in this representative organisation. And correctly, there was a 23% pay gap. But the challenge here is not a disparity in equal pay for equal work. It's a distribution of roles. So you've got 63 or 64% of men in the senior roles in the organisation that are bonused and that are paid at a far higher level. There was also a large gap in the temporary workers that were in there. So the corrections here are about making sure that we have women in senior roles. It's about making sure that there's diversity on shortlists. And it's about making sure there isn't a problem. Like if you look at the public sector, you have a far smaller pay gap in the public sector because of pay structures and ensuring that you've got diversity on shortlists. We just need to do the same in the private sector.
Donal O'Donoghue, Managing Director of Sanderson Recruitment. Donal, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.